tonight. Following that hymn will follow the order of Matins. That's on page 219 and following. An order of worship is provided on our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, goodshepherdlincoln.org. We'll make sure that we have time to get to the right page at the right time for those of you that are worshiping at home. One final announcement before we begin. It has pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of Norma Booth. Norma passed away yesterday morning after a long battle with cancer. We pray God's blessings for Norma's family, and the funeral service is tentatively set for this Thursday morning, 10:30, here at Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, in this world we have trouble. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who took all of our trouble, all of our sin, all of our sorrow, all of our guilt, all of our shame, everything, onto himself and into himself, as he bled and died on Calvary's cross, rising victorious even over death and the grave 3 days later. Heavenly Father, teach us today that our sufferings are but for a little while. Our joy, true joy, real joy, is eternal in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in his name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Hymn 483, with high delight, let us unite. 483.
Begin our service with the Order of Matins on page 219. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia.
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship him.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day, founded on the bulletin.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth, alleluia. Sing the glory of his name, give to him glorious praise, alleluia. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept our soul among the
will be forever.
give to him glorious praise. Alleluia.
We are seated for our office hymn number 754, Entrust Your Days and Burdens, hymn 754. Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me? And again a little while, and you will see me? And because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God."
We sing the Easter responsory on page 222. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day.
Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep.
Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his
to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Text for our meditation is the gospel reading that we heard just moments ago, John 16, 16 to 22, especially verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a little while. Imagine, if you would, a young family making a drive down the interstate on their family vacation. Before long, the inevitable question comes out of the back seat. How much longer? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And what does the wise parent say? Do they go into a map reading lesson? Do they talk about the different towns and speed limits and mileage? No. They simply say, a little while. We'll be there in a little while. We're the same way, aren't we? How often aren't we impatient? We want what we want, and we want it now. We're in a hurry, and we pull up to the stoplight, and it's red, and it stays red. And we think to ourselves, how long before this light changes? A little while. We're in the grocery store, and we're waiting to check out. How long will the checker take? How many coupons will that person in front of me want to redeem? How much longer? A little while. Generally, at this time of the year, people are saying, oh, I can't wait for school to get out. How much longer will it be? A little while. When can I finally take that summer vacation or that cruise that we've been planning for years? A little while. Things have changed pretty dramatically in the last 6 or 7 weeks, haven't they? Instead of children longing for school to be out, now we hear the surprising question, When can we go back to school? When can we start up again? A little while. When can we go out for that family meal for my birthday that you promised me at that restaurant? A little while. People around the country, people around the world, how long before we can come back into God's house, the body of Christ together, to hear the word of God, to receive Christ's body and blood? How long? A little while. My friends, God's word is teaching us a valuable lesson today. Sorrow is very real in this world. Sorrow is very real, especially in the life of a Christian. Sorrow lasts only a little while. But joy, true joy, lasts forever. The problem there, isn't there? When we're suffering, our suffering seems to be endless.
It goes on and on and on. Our suffering seems like an eternity. We lose all sense of perspective. Our suffering drives us inward. How does that work out? In our pain, we turn inward, and generally that makes the pain and the suffering even worse. God's word today would have us not look inward in the midst of our sorrows, our temptations, our trials, and our suffering, but to look to Him. To look to Christ and His cross in the midst of our suffering. Because in Jesus Christ, we have joy. Jesus Christ is the only source for true joy. We look to Jesus. But where is He? He's gone to the Father. He's hidden from our sight. We want evidence. We want to see with our eyes. We want to touch with our fingers. We want to set up a test for God to prove that He is real. Let's face it. We want to be God. We want to be God of our own little universe. We want to be God of our own situation. We want to pick and choose the joys in our lives. We want to pick and choose when the sorrows come, how quickly they disappear. Try as you might. God will never put you in charge. There is one God, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus Himself teaches us today, 7 times in our text, a little while, a little while. I can't tell you how many times I have heard people say, you know, I tried that God thing. I tried that religion. I even prayed once and nothing happened. Either God isn't real or God doesn't care. Maybe you've felt the same way. Maybe in the midst of your trial and tribulation and suffering right now, you're wondering and thinking, why doesn't God take this pain and sorrow and suffering away? Why doesn't God fix it? If He's really God, or if He really cares. And so what happens? False teachers pop up all over to tell us what our itching ears and our hurting hearts want to hear. Think back. Think back to all the name it and claim it kind of preachers that have come and mostly have gone. Norman Vincent Peale, if you pray in an exact formula way, you will always get what you want. Robert Schuller, name it and claim it in his crystal cathedral. Chuck Swindoll, let me give you 5 easy steps for what ails you. And now, the modern day peddler of this kind of nonsense, Joel Osteen. Yes, you can have your best life now. My friends, Jesus says, verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Christians, bear the cross. Christians suffer. And I'm not talking about just the way in general that people suffer. Christians suffer because Christians are persecuted simply because they are Christians. They are misunderstood and misrepresented. You and me are misunderstood and misrepresented. We are falsely accused. Why? Because the world doesn't like what we teach. Even this, during this pandemic, to anyone who is truly objective, how many times haven't we seen Christian churches singled out above all others, persecuted, mocked, arrested? Why? Because the world sees us and what happens here in God's house as non-essential. Imagine that. Christians are persecuted because we teach God's word, full strength, law and gospel. We teach the law of God that marriage is between one man and one woman for life. The world hates that message. The world mocks that message. The world persecutes that message. Christians teach that life begins at conception, and that all human life has sanctity. The world laughs. The world mocks. The world persecutes. Christians teach, as difficult it is during these pandemic days, that we are to obey our civil authorities. What does the world teach? Well, disobey any law that you don't see as right or just. Join the resistance. But that's not all Christians teach. Christians are persecuted most often because we teach the gospel. Yes. The gospel is an offense. The gospel makes people cringe. Why? Because sin is real. And the only solution for sin is God sending His Son as a sacrifice once and for all to bleed and die and rise again to take away the sin of the world. Jesus, God in the flesh, suffering and dying on Calvary's cross for the sin of the world. Jesus, physically, bodily, rising from the dead 3 days later, conquering sin, death, and the grave. This message is foolishness to the world. And yet it is salvation for those who believe. When Jesus spoke the words of our text, He spoke them on Maundy Thursday evening, a part of His upper room discourse. And during these Sundays in the Easter season, we have an opportunity to examine many, many of these words. Jesus is preparing His disciples and us for the suffering they are about to endure. For a little while you won't see me, and then you'll see me again. These words rang hollow for the disciples. This is Maundy Thursday night. Jesus will be taken, arrested, beaten, mocked, convicted, crucified, dead, buried in a tomb. They won't see Him. What do the disciples do? They turn away in shame. They run and they hide. They skedaddle. They don't want a suffering servant Savior. Jesus prepares them for what's ahead. After Jesus rises from the dead, for 40 days, He gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. Touch, see, listen. And then after 40 days, Jesus ascended into heaven. They saw Him for a little while. And then, for a little while, they didn't see him. And Jesus promises, in a little while, you will see me again. My friends, in the same way that Jesus prepared his disciples for suffering, he is preparing you and me right here and right now. We've never seen Jesus with our eyes. We've seen him only with the eyes of faith. It should be enough, shouldn't it? We have God's word of promise. We have God's word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We have God's word that he is with us always, even unto the end of the age. But there are times, most often in the midst of our suffering, when our faith becomes dull and clouded, weak, confused. The sorrow of regret, guilt, shame, bitterness, disappointment, doubt overwhelms us. It floods our souls. Where is Jesus? If Jesus were here, if Jesus were real, then I wouldn't be going through this grief and heartache. Why does my loved one get sick? Why is the economy faltering? Why can't I pay my bills? Why won't my kids behave? Why won't my spouse forgive me? My friends, today, in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our doubt, in the midst of our worry and bitterness, Jesus gives us this promise. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Jesus isn't only talking to his disciples here. He's talking to all of his disciples, here and now. He's talking to you and to me. Let's face it, we don't always have that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. We hurt. We suffer. We worry. We battle a sin. We think we've overcome it. And then we dive right back into that same sin, maybe even a hundredfold. We know what sinners we are, and it makes us afraid. Afraid to face God. Afraid to face death. You think people aren't afraid of death? Look around. Look at how people are afraid to get close. Look at how people can't wait to get their mask on. We're afraid. We're afraid of death. Jesus gives us a promise. He says, your sorrow will be turned to joy. Jesus, who ascended to the Father in heaven, took away our sins, and he is at the right hand of God pleading for us. How does God make this bold promise that our sorrow will be turned to joy? Our sorrow is just for a little while. My friends, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. Sorrow lasts only for a little while, but joy lasts forever. The cross of Jesus Christ is how he gained joy for us. My friends, there is no joy. There is no true joy apart from the cross of Jesus Christ, because there is no true joy apart from the forgiveness of sins. There is no true joy apart from the certainty of life everlasting in and through the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. True joy, true happiness is impossible apart from Jesus. Jesus ascends to the Father. He sits at the right hand of God. But he did not skip the cross. He did not forego suffering. In fact, as he hung on Calvary's cross, forsaken by his Father, he endured the pangs of hell for all people, for all time. Jesus brings joy through his suffering, death, and resurrection. The disciples were sorrowful at the death of Jesus, and they were overwhelmed with joy at his resurrection. We too, when we see the cost of our sin, as Jesus hangs naked and bloody on Calvary's cross, we sorrow. We sorrow over our sin. And Jesus, who reigns victorious over the grave, comes not only to his disciples, but to you and me. He brings peace. He brings joy. He brings the forgiveness of sins, full and free, to all people for all time. Cling to me, he says, and your sins are forgiven. We don't have to clean up our act. We don't have to follow the first five steps before Jesus steps in at 6 or 7. Jesus comes to us in our weakness. He comes to us in our helplessness. He comes to us in our sorrow, grief, and pain. Not because we deserve it, but because God is great and loves poor, miserable sinners like you and me. He comes to us in our weakness with the only word that can bring true joy. My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. He gives this example in our text, an example that I only know secondhand. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Joy swallows up our sorrow and our anguish. No one in the midst of labor pains is happy and joyful. No, the suffering is immense. The pain is real. But when that mother holds that new life in her hands, the last thing on her mind is the pain and suffering. Full of joy that a new life has come into this world. My friends, in our suffering, Jesus seems hidden. In our suffering, God often seems far away. If God blesses and sanctifies our baptism by his baptism, doesn't it stand to reason that he also blesses and sanctifies our crosses, our tribulations, our sufferings, by his cross and by his tribulation? My friends, if it were up to us, we would pick and choose our earthly joys, and they would last only a little while. Cling to Jesus. Cling to His cross. Cling to His forgiveness. Suffering is real, but God gives a promise. It will come to an end. Our suffering is only for a little while. But joy, true joy, eternal joy in the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with Jesus forever and ever is yours by grace through faith forever. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our suffering in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. This morning we use the words of the Te Deum, page 223. We sing.
We praise you, God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. Yeah.
and welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This is Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Nebraska. We are thankful that you have joined us for worship on the radio, on the internet, a variety of ways that we're providing our worship services during this time of suspended services. We thank you for your encouragement and support, and we pray that God would bless us and allow us to be back corporately in God's house soon. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie on page 227. The Kyrie on page 227.
In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you show those in error the light of your truth, so that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant faithfulness to all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's church, that they may avoid whatever is contrary to their confession and follow all such things as are pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
In addition to the prayer requests listed in the news and notes available on the website, we have two additional prayer requests. We pray for the family of Reynold Veering. Friends of the Renter family, Reynold passed away this past week. We also rejoice with the Malika family at the birth of a son, Langdon Jonathan, this past week as well. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercy, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love towards others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant health and prosperity to all of those in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of Nebraska, the Mayor and City Council of Lincoln, and all of those who make, administer, enforce, and judge our laws. Grant them the grace to rule according to your good pleasure for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and our adversaries and all of those who persecute the church, that they may cease their hostility and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Be especially with those Christians in Nigeria and in other places who are being persecuted. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all of those who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, quarantine, or any other adversity. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that no matter what, you will still acknowledge them as your own child. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Although we have deserved wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us, most importantly, from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We celebrate with you, Lord, at your wondrous gift of life, and with the Malika family at the birth of a son. Keep mother and child safe, and bring them to the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, Heavenly Father, that they might find peace and comfort in Jesus and the resurrection from the dead and the promise of eternal life granted through him. Be with those who are mourning, including the family of Norma Muth and the family of Reynold Veering. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
These and whatever other things you would have us ask you, O God, grant for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 484, Make Songs of Joy, hymn 484.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. We pray God's blessings on our time together on this jubilate, joyful celebration, even in the midst of our sorrows. We encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. They are available online at our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. Also be reminded, the funeral service for Norma Muth is tentatively planned here at Good Shepherd Thursday morning at 10:30. A little bit later today, the elders of Good Shepherd will be coming together and talking about how we might bring back our corporate worship services next Sunday with the new guidelines and restrictions that are out. We are hopeful that we will have corporate worship next Sunday, May 10, here at Good Shepherd. We don't know all the details yet, but look at your email, look online, and we'll make sure that we get all of those details out to you as quickly as possible, as soon as those decisions are made. We will worship online services only this Wednesday at 6:30, and hopefully that'll be the last time for online only. Pastor, do you want to say a few words for those watching? Say a few words about our new Easter pyramids.
These pyramids are the next set that they've been working on. There's still maybe a few gold embellishments that they're working on, but the general outline is kind of completed, and so we thank the ladies for working on that. The next color they're working on is the red ones, and so those perhaps by Pentecost will be all ready to go. We'll see how that works, but we want to thank them for their work and their time. We want to thank those who donated to help get these pyramids made. And so the idea is that on Easter Day and on Christmas Day, we'll use the gold. And then during the Easter and Christmas season, we'll use the white and other colors as we go forward. We'll explain also.
Okay, so even during the pandemic lockdown type things, the Altar Guild ladies and the Sewing Club ladies have been working very, very hard. Thanks be to God. Pastor, any other announcements?
No.
We pray God's blessings on this Easter season. Whatever sorrow or distress you may be experiencing right now, remember, our sorrow is only for a little while. Joy in Christ Jesus is forever. How do you know? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.